Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to Ready Made Meetings. My name is Harvey Cohen. Today's topic revolves around the dangers of premature payment quotations. Certainly, you've had this happen to you when someone has come into your showroom and asked you for a payment on a vehicle. Now, this could have been precipitated by somebody coming in with an advertisement that they received in the newspaper, or perhaps something they saw on television or heard on the radio. But it could have also been simply because they asked for a payment. And there's nothing wrong with somebody asking for a payment, but there is a challenge, in some cases, in giving them a payment too quickly. Now, before I get into some ways to overcome the challenge, I'd like to explain some of the philosophy here. Prospects are going to come in to see you and they're going to ask for a payment, and why not? I mean, if you or I were going shopping, there's a chance we would want to know how much something costs too. But the danger in our particular industry, say over somebody who buys clothing, is once they decide to buy, and they do buy or lease, then they're out of the market for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, sometimes longer. Isn't that true? Which means that we have to handle these folks a bit delicately. Simply because if I do chase the people away with a premature payment quotation, and as a result they leave, is there also a chance that they won't come back? Now, in the industry, we call folks be-backs. These are the ones that say they're going to be back. Now, you can tell me, as easy as I can tell you, the percentage of people who come back when they say they're going to be back. You know as well as I do, obviously, that the numbers are not that high. Certainly some do come back. But what happens to all the others? Where do they go? Again, you know the answer to that question too. Why? Because you're meeting some of the ones that went somewhere else and are now shopping with you. And if you have a good rapport with these folks or happen to say the right thing at the right time or just happen to have a better deal than the guy up the street, then you're going to steal that particular be-back from somebody else. However, what we have to be able to do is prevent them from leaving before they can become a be-back. Many of the trainers in our industry today are teaching less pressure, more relationship selling. I respect that. I want to put that on the table right now. The problem with that is, unless you close the sale today, your chances of closing it tomorrow diminish simply because they're not going home after they leave you. Where are they going to go? That's right, to another dealership to see what they have for sale. And if they can beat the deal you've just given them. That's the danger in premature payment quotations in the auto industry. Simply because they are not going to just take it and go home and mull it over. At least a very, very small percentage might, but the rest certainly don't. So if we know that they're going to leave and go someplace else, then we have a challenge. You know, whenever I hold a sales seminar in a dealership or an auditorium, I always ask the salespeople there the same question, or a similar question anyway. That being, has this ever happened to you when someone came into your showroom and asked for a payment on a particular vehicle? Naturally, everybody says, of course. My next question would be, okay, great, tell me, did you give it to them? Now, I get mixed responses there, but usually the answer is yes. I usually, at that point, respond with, fine. Next question would be, did they buy? And, of course, I get the odd yes. I then ask, have you ever quoted a monthly installment to somebody and they didn't buy? The response there is a much louder yes. I then continue by asking, which happens more frequently, they buy or they don't buy? And of course, the answer is a resounding, they don't buy. I then follow up with this question. Tell me, has it ever happened when someone has come to your dealership with a payment from another dealership that they're asking you to beat? I always get a yes for that question. So the next thing I need to know is, why do you keep doing it? Why would you want to perpetuate what somebody down the street, up the street, around the corner just proved to you beyond a shadow of any doubt doesn't work? If they're coming to you with a payment in hand, what does that tell us? It tells us that they've been shopping, certainly. Certainly, it also tells us, well, if we can beat your payment, then we're going to buy from us. I know that. But it also tells us that if they get the payment, they're not necessarily going to buy. So why would we want to give a number out so quickly simply so they could run and leave and possibly go someplace else? We've already been proven beyond any doubt, as I've mentioned, that that's exactly what they might and probably will do. So we have to control the situation, which brings me to a completely different topic, but I have to talk about it, and that is the topic of control. Only one person can be in control in any sales situation. It's either the seller or the buyer. If the seller is in control, that's fine. But if the buyer is in control, you have a problem. Well, in actual fact, the seller is always in control. It's just the seller and the buyer sometimes change hats. You see, here's what happens. A buyer comes in, and they take control. They become the seller. What do I mean by that? Well, they start selling us on their point of view. We start buying it. If you're a salesperson, that's the bad place to be in. Wouldn't you agree? So you have to regain that control. You have to take the control back, or in fact, never lose it to begin with. And that's done using a process called question selling, as opposed to telling people things. That's why I've just asked you a series of questions. And what happened every time I asked you those questions just now regarding the payment buyer? Didn't you answer them either out loud or to yourselves? And by doing so, I maintain control of the conversation, because I know where it's going, because I know what questions I'm asking, and therefore I pretty well know what answers I'm going to get, or I wouldn't ask the question. So if I have that kind of an arsenal in my bag, so to speak, I'm in control. But if we continuously just throw numbers here, there, and everywhere without getting any kind of interest level based on the customer's thought process, we have a problem. Yes, I know we can possibly sell the vehicle anyway, but which would make more sense, to sell more of them or less of them? Which would make more sense again, to let them leave, to shop our payment, our price, our interest rate, whatever it is we're giving them, or to regain some of that control and ask the necessary questions designed to keep the people in your showroom, not go to someone else's? All they're trying to do is get the best deal for themselves. I know that, you know that. However, price, payment, and interest rate doesn't always indicate the best deal. So let's get rid of that one for a second. And number two, let's also not get caught up on the thing that that's all customers want. If you're a steady listener of the program, you know beyond a doubt as well that customers want more than just low payments and low prices. They want quality, they want service, there's a lot of other things. But we get so caught up in it. Why? Because we keep hearing these objections time and time again. We keep hearing the customer's request for the best possible payment, the lowest possible price. Just give me your best price. I want to shop around. I just want to keep you honest. I just want to keep your pencil sharp. You've heard all of these ridiculous statements. In reality, though, they only want what they want. And low price doesn't necessarily enter into it because half the time they don't remember what they paid anyway a year or two down the road. So what's most important, again, is to make sure that they're happy with what they have, not the payment. Not one person ever drives a payment out the door. It just doesn't happen. Now, I know you've heard this before, but it's true. Nobody can drive a number. They drive the vehicle. They drive what the number does for them, not the number itself. When people go to a restaurant, they're not eating the price tag. They're eating the food that the price tag buys. When you buy an expensive suit, you're wearing the suit and getting the benefit of the suit, not the price. And by the way, how come in a suit store, people run out of the suit store going, "Hey, I paid top dollar," and they're proud of that? However, what I am most concerned about here is pre-quoting those installments prior to the prospect actually deciding to buy the vehicle. And if we can regain that control, then obviously it'll be a better position for all concerned. You know, it just so happens I was in a dealership just today talking with somebody I know, and I overheard a conversation going on between one of the salespeople and the sales manager. And you know what happened? During the weekend, their computers decided to misbehave. So what occurred was they couldn't come up with lease payments and purchase payments for the customer. I'm talking about the salespeople now, not the business office or the sales manager. So no one could calculate the monthly installment. Do you know what happened? The people left. I heard the salesperson actually say to the sales manager, "We lost two sales because the computer didn't work." Now, I don't understand this, because quite frankly, what does the computer not working have anything to do with the fact that the person decides to make a purchase or not? Where on those bills of sale was there ever written something to the effect of, "If the payment fits budget, I will buy vehicle"? What happened to the close? So these people left the dealership without buying because the computer wasn't working. Now, I understand because we get so tied up on the payment thing that we forget to do the very basic thing, which is sell the vehicle. The people want the vehicle. Yes, they'll take it if the payment is right, but I have no guarantee on that. But I can pretty well guarantee that the payment will be right if they like the vehicle. You have to get them turned on to the product before they're going to figure out if they can afford it or not. And the sad realization is, nowhere on their bills of sale was there one of those conditions stating that if I like the car, I'll buy it. Do you know why? No bill of sale was written. Why? Because they got too caught up in payment, not on the vehicle itself. All of this revolves around closing the sale, but first, before we do anything else, again, don't panic when it comes to the fact that they're asking for a payment. First, find out something really important. Okay, we're going to come to that right now. Now, please understand, I'm aware of the fact that not all people can afford all payments. However, that doesn't mean that people can't come up with the extra money if they so desire, if they're excited about the vehicle. Once again, the proof here is people could buy a basic four-door, nothing-in-it vehicle and drive that just as far, just as fast in some cases, as the fancy ones. So why do they buy the fancy ones? Because they want toys. So they are prepared to pay more if you can prove to them it's worth it. But all they're buying is a car. So you're selling them air conditioning, and you're selling them power door locks, and you're selling them sunroofs, and you're selling them leather seats. They don't need that stuff. They want that stuff, and there's the difference. So now we have to make them want what you have so much they are prepared to buy it if they can afford it. Not if the payment's right will they buy it. There's a difference. You've got to get them excited about the vehicle. Does that make sense? Now I know we're so caught up on the payment thing again. And that's simply because they've trained us to react the way that we are reacting. But we have to, as I've mentioned earlier, regain some control. So here's what happens. The prospect comes into the showroom and they say, give me the best payment on this vehicle or give me your best price. If we go running around like chickens without heads, trying to get the payment from this person and get the payment from that person, they are in control. We're now not worrying about selling the vehicle. Again, we're worried only about making the payment happen. And again, just to reiterate, there's no guarantee that once you quote the payment to them that they're going to buy the vehicle. So we have to stop them in their tracks and do it in a nice way so that they're not offended. It goes like this. I appreciate that you'd like an installment, and I'm going to do my best to get one for you, Mr. and Mrs. Prospect, but I just have one quick question. May I assume if the payment is within your budget, this is the vehicle you'd want to have in your driveway? Or another variation, I assume this is the one you're going to be taking home if the installment's right. Is that correct? I'll bet you this is the one you'd want if I can make the numbers work for you. Isn't that true? Or would you be taking this one home if the numbers do work? Now, all of those are called commitment questions. They're closes. And if the prospect comes back and says yes to you at that point, then at least you're in a better position. I would at that point in time fill out the bill of sale subject to the payment being good, because at least now we've got commitment on both sides. But if you just go running around and giving the payment, they're going to leave. And what if they push you? You can simply say you're not the expert when it comes to working out the dollars, and you don't certainly want to make a mistake so that they're going to be quoted the wrong numbers. So I tell you what, let's first put this down on paper that in fact you are interested in getting the vehicle if the numbers work out, and that'll introduce you to somebody who can look after it all for you in detail. How does that sound? Wouldn't you agree that can maintain or regain some control for you? But don't be afraid of it. The people aren't leaving. They're never going to leave at that particular instance because they want the vehicle. You've already trained them to want the vehicle. But if you give them the payment too quickly, they may just up and leave. Now, you've always got your sales manager to assist you in helping you close that particular portion. But you want to get commitment prior to actually quoting a payment. May I assume, if the installment fits your budget, this is the vehicle you want. What's the worst they can say? No? And if they do, you say, oh gee, I thought you liked the vehicle. They'll come back and say, well, I do, I just want the price. At which point, okay, you say, that's not a problem. I'll get that number for you before you leave. But I'm just curious, you do like it, don't you? And go for another close. You've got to try to keep closing. Or they'll shop till you drop. Ask for the order before you quote and watch the difference. Questions or comments? I urge you to email me at learntosell@harveycohen.com. On behalf of everyone at Harvey Cohen Learning Systems, thanks for listening.